Digital Arena on the app, on your smart, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast World Cup coverage.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast World Cup coverage is July 15th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or you can follow us on X and Instagram at the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Spain shut down a giant, or was it? Because the record says that Spain always beats France. France, everyone favored it to go to the final and perhaps winning it, but Spain shut down their critics. They are the European champions. And join us all the way from Florida, George Delgado. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago.
George, what a game yesterday. A lot of anticipation, but at the same time, not much. The game did not produce many goals. Well, two goals, if you think there's many. France was shut down completely. There was a goal, obviously, by penalty by Mikel Oyarzabal, and an early second-half strike by Pedro Porto that put Spain 2-0. But what were your overall thoughts over this semifinal match in Dallas?
This World Cup keeps surprising the world. Even although in our group chat, half the people thought Spain would go through, and I even asked, how can you even think
and
that?
You were skeptical. Why you were skeptical about Spain beating France before the game?
Because France, just look, because of the talent, look at the France roster. Mbappe is on fire. They have also Dembele. So out of the top five goal scorers, two are in France. It's the only country with this luxury. Dembele's Ballon d'Or, I thought he was going to win it this year again. I don't know who will win it now. Mbappe is on fire. You can tell they have Michael Olise, the new addition from the Euros. And Spain, in my opinion, they've kind of not struggled, but they haven't really shined either. And that's why. And also, Lamine Jamal, he recovered recently from an injury. So I think these are the differences.
We'll look into the goals. Let's go for the first goal. What happened? Lucas Digne goes to volley the ball and just volleys Lamine Jamal on his hip that led to a penalty kick midway through the first half. When I first saw this, Lucas Digne did not see him behind him. He was just trying to clear the ball. And Jamal went up right there, and then obviously Digne kicked him right in the hip. But I was surprised because it's like incidental. It wasn't done intentionally, but everyone's saying, yep, that's a clear penalty.
Clear. I mean, it can't get any clearer. I don't know how people are complaining. He's in the box. Jamal is going for the ball. He's not running towards the foot. He's going for the ball. He's looking at the ball. He's jumping, trying to head it towards his teammate. Lucas Digne just didn't see him. And he pulls out a Street Fighter move from the character Bison. He kicks him, and that's it. That first goal. Once Spain is up, I mean, it's almost like a guarantee they're going to win.
Yeah, the penalty came through Mikel. How do you say his name? Oh, yes, the ball.
Oyarzabal.
Who buried on the right side of the net that gives Spain a 1-0 lead. One of the, I think he has five goals in this tournament. Don't know if he'll catch up to the Mbappes and Messi level, but there comes the penalty. I thought, okay, one goal's not that bad, but George, you thought it was over.
Versus Spain. But I did think, okay, if anyone can come back, it's France. I think we all agree to that. By sheer talent and transitions. France loves transitions, and one mistake from Spain, and that's it. It's an equalizer. That mistake never came.
Never came. And then in the second half, in the 58th minute, Pedro Porro, who plays for Tottenham Hotspur, scored another goal for Spain on a give-and-go play that exposed a French defensive loop. This goal, it was kind of weird because I don't think Spain expected this play. It just kind of happened. The ball fell into Porro's hands. He took his time to shoot that goal, and he scored.
Yeah, and once again, notice whose fault is it. It's Lucas Digne's fault. That's his man. And you see between Lucas Digne and Saliba actually went out
in the first half with an injury, with a back injury.
Oh, okay. So whoever played for Saliba,
Lacroix from Crystal Palace. Oh, yeah. He plays with Daniel Muñoz and Chris Richards.
And it was, you know, your basic give and go play. Like that's as basic as it goes. And in the right moment and in the right spot, that's it. And Pedro Porro, that's the thing with these elite teams. You let them, if one mistake, they will exploit it. France, same thing. So I was waiting for the Spain mistake. I was like, okay, they're going to make a mistake at some point. France is going to exploit it.
Hasn't happened.
No. So the game just comes down to, it just doesn't come down to, but they're two elite teams. And whoever makes the most mistakes loses because the quality is very similar in different ways. France made two mistakes.
Those are the goals, and Spain capitalized. On the defensive side, George, Spain constricted passing lanes, slowed France's offense, and limited its chances all game. I didn't see Michael Olise much in this match.
So the two mistakes explain the two goals. But what explains maintaining the score? Well, Spain is probably the most complete team in the world. They love ball possession. Even though it was 50-50 because France gets, 49-51. It's basically 50-50. It's
50-50, yeah.
Yeah, 50-50. Spain don't need the ball anymore. And France, these big teams, when they need to score, actually any team, when they need to score, they get the ball. And they play up and they risk it more, obviously. But traditionally, you look at the games, look at the stats. Spain defends with the ball. That's their style. It's like classic Spanish style.
Tiki-taka.
Other teams that do this are Turkey, believe it or not.
Turkey's doing it too.
They love possession. That's why I was so surprised that they didn't pass group stage. A lot of teams like possession. Colombia is another that defends with the ball. But other than defending with the ball, look at the passing. Spain knows how to pass the ball. That's part of tiki-taka. Two-touch football. Receive, one touch. Second touch, pass. And third is move. Receive, pass, move. Receive, pass, move. And Spain maintains their identity of doing that. Just look at the footage over and over. Receive, pass, receive, pass, receive, pass. Quick. So it's hard for France to keep up with that. And when they don't have the ball, as you wrote in your banner, they cut the passing lanes. And they intercepted basically all of Olise's dangerous passes, interception.
They cut the supply line, you know.
So Mbappe. Possession, passing, pressing. You look at the Opta, the team that most presses is Spain, and they take advantage of the mistakes. So it's a very complete team.
And it's interesting because Spain had like the most big chances according to stats compared to France, who had zero. So yeah, the stats pretty explain it all. They had 502 passes to 472 and 427 aggregate passes to 395. So it's quite something, the possession rate that we've seen this Spain do back in 2010 when they won the World Cup then. So history's repeating itself, and they won the Euros and everything. So let's look back at France, George. Mbappe was very critical of tactics by sloppy France in loss. He says, we were 3-2 in the midfield and against Spain, which is hard. Your thoughts over that?
Yeah, it's just that when you have that level of talent, I can argue that France has the three best players in the world. You can argue it. Mbappe, Olise, and the Ballon d'Or, Dembele.
Dembele, yep.
So when you have that much talent, it covers the tactics organization because the talent's going to take care of it. And I think that's what Mbappe is trying to say. Like, without saying it, we relied too much on our talent and we weren't organizing against an extremely, not only organized, because Switzerland is extremely organized as well, but it's organized and efficient. That's what makes Spain different from the rest, besides the organization, because other teams have organization and ball possession and passing. France has a lot of good passing rate too. It's just they're complete. They're more complete. They play more as a team. There's no individual, you know, like Lamine Yamal. How many goals has he scored? One maybe. In the whole tournament. So like these individual performances, there's no star that sticks out of the crowd in the Spanish team.
The FIFA World
organization teamwork beat the individual stars of Spain, of France.
He's only had one goal in this tournament.
Yeah, so, one goal. Yeah,
and I don't know. I think it was against Saudi Arabia. So
yeah, so team sport, the team tactics won.
France, of course, Mbappe was criticizing the tactics. Their head coach, Didier Deschamps, will no longer be the French coach. He announced it last year, so it became official. Last game, Zinedine Zidane to take over France. Obviously, the Euros 2028 coming up. You think Zidane can make this team more, electric, and maybe beat Spain?
If anyone can do it, it's him.
He hasn't coached since Real Madrid. And that's been a couple of years.
He hasn't, yeah. But he has time. It's not like a club where, okay, game day is in the fall.
If you lose week one or week two, that's not good.
Yeah, so he has time to work with them, and he won the three Champions Leagues in a row.
Champions League with heavy talent. Yeah.
Heavy talent. He knows how to
deal with egos.
If anyone can do it, it's him.
Exactly. He starts this summer, and we'll see what happens with France. Potential, you know, Mbappe is only 27, 25, 27. Mm-hmm. So he has one good World Cup ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he has the Euros 2 years from now, so I expect them to do something better. They got to beat that Spain. Like, Colombia needs to beat that Switzerland, you know, to get over the top. So.
Yeah, Spain is France is. It's also matchups. Somehow,
yeah.
You know, Spain didn't do that well against. Here's another thing. Besides matchups, it's sometimes you're going to get a good game. Sometimes you're going to get a bad game. It's just, it doesn't matter who you are.
Or you have like a bad day too, right, George?
Right, right. Just a bad day. So
things don't click.
Besides Spain being a complete team, they exploited the mistakes. France made the two mistakes. Therefore, you get the two goals. If you zoom really out, it's France had a bad day. Probably France had their worst game in the tournament, in my opinion, and Spain had their best game
of the whole tournament. Yeah,
of the whole tournament.
This is the game that Spain came out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, we got one more semi-final match that will turn the finalists for the World Cup final. And before we get into it, we're going to play this clip.
Maradona. Trying to drive forward again. Steve Hodges put it in the air. And Maradona jumps. And Maradona scores. England claim handball. All of the England players rushing towards the referee. Fenech is furious. Maradona turned past two and runs away from Reed. And then gets past Butcher and past another. And Maradona goes on and scores one of the greatest goals the World Cup has ever seen. One of the best.
Sing Batistuta. And he almost got to that, but it's 1-0 up. Owen, a chance to run at them now. Michael Owen with a chance to run at them. And that sure is another penalty. Shearer with a chance to make it 1-1. And does it superbly. Lopez almost getting away with a bit. It spotted that day. Finds Beckham. Beckham now to Owen. And here's another Owen run. He's going to worry them again. It's a great run by Michael Owen. And he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal. What an amazing moment in Michael Owen's young career. A fantastic run that frightened the Argentinians. And a most unerring finish beyond Ra to make it 2-1 England. A terrific moment. Lost a minute or so of the first half, and Argentina get a free kick on the edge of the penalty area. England plus one Argentina, and it'll be a blast from Latigol, as they call him, Batistuta. No, it's not, it's Ferran who's played it. For Zanetti, it's a great goal, it's 2-2. Wait a minute, he's taking another card out for Beckham, it's a red card for David Beckham. Oh no.
He did retaliate. If you look, he has a little flick of him, and then he kicks
him. Oh, yeah, bro.
Scholes back to Owen. Now, was he caught there? Yes, he was! Michael Owen as well, a penalty for England. Pochettino it is this time. Pierluigi Collina pointed straight to the spot. David Beckham to give England the lead against Argentina. World Cup finals. Doesn't get much bigger than this next kick of the football. He's big enough. Captain's example, David Beckham. England lead Argentina. Those three little words that mean so much.
The rivalry between England and Argentina is one of the most intense, storied, and the controversial in international football. The history on the biggest stage includes legendary goals, as you saw Maradona, controversial disciplinary moments, as what happened with Diego Simeone and David Beckham, and intense matches that heavily influence both nations' World Cup legacies. George, will we see the same type of drama today in the semifinal, England versus Argentina in Atlanta?
I don't know if we're going to see the same quality of goals. Because, man, I remember seeing those goals by Michael Owen. He was amazing. He was only 18 with the first one, I think.
Electrifying. You know?
And I do think it'll be dramatic. You know, maybe we'll see a hand of God. I don't know.
I don't think you do that these days with VAR. But if it's Messi and the call's going his way, I wouldn't put it past it. Well, Argentina enters the match averaging 58.67 ball possession. They have been ruthless in the final third, netting 17 goals across six matches on 95 total shots. Lionel Messi serves as their undisputed offensive engine, leading the tournament with an astonishing 8 goals and 2 assists. England counters with a 57% average possession and their only lethal finishing. Harry Kane, 6 goals, and Jude Bellingham, 6 goals. Anchor an English side that has scored 13 times from 92 total shots, including an impressive 45 shots on target. With both nations having conceded exactly 6 goals so far, So these teams are kind of equal, but on paper, George, who has their team and squad?
No, England. Harry Kane is the biggest goal, is the top goal scorer of Bayern of Bundesliga. And I was going to say Bayern Liga of the Bundesliga.
It is Bayern.
Yeah. And he's like a kind of like a false nine. Bellingham, he has shown big time in this World Cup. I mean, everyone's talking about, I was talking about Harry Kane. No, I trust Harry Kane. Harry Kane will, he'll pull through. But then there's Bellingham, who's
right beside him. 6 goals.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He is now on the list to be top goal scorer. So I think I would say mainly because of those two.
That two stars.
I think those two stars are in better form than the top. Well, you have Julian Alvarez in Argentina.
And he showed up against Switzerland. And
he showed up against a tough Swiss team.
And then you got Lautaro Martinez.
That, yeah, he punishes mistakes.
He's like a punch.
The Argentinian defenders, I mean, they're Romero and Martinez, they're doing very well. They always show up for Argentina. But I think the attackers, Kane and Bellingham, they show up more.
On crucial moments. I think that Bellingham goal against Norway, he just hustled through it. No one can stop him.
Yes, that's what those two, I mean, they both have hustle. These two teams have hustle. That's what has brought them here. So on paper, yeah, I am going to say England.
Let me give you some tactical leaks as we're going on from the camps. Rodrigo De Paul, which is called like the bodyguard of Lionel Messi, is expected not to start for Argentina versus England. Also reports from the Argentina publication Ole has reported Scaloni, the head coach of Argentina, could be tempted to go to a 5-3-2 formation, having utilized it during Monday's training session. So they, I think, put in the five defenders. It, like what they want to do is to stop Kane and Jude Bellingham. Your thoughts over this possible formation?
I mean, that's kind of a surprise.
Because they were using three defenders like most of the tournament. Now they're doing 5.
It could work.
Defensive.
Wow, I'm surprised by this. I guess they're gonna, that's fine. They modify their
tactics. Can modify it. Yeah, because I think that offensive the offensive firepower of England, and as you described, you just described it beautifully.
Yeah,
they're gonna use the five defenders to stop it.
And they'll look for the counter.
And here's what England's doing. This is a leak from the England camp. England's Wayne man marking plan for Lionel Messi. If there's only one player that can they need to stop or have to stop, is Lionel Messi.
Okay, so I have two thoughts on this. My first immediate thought was, I mean, yeah, this is obvious. I mean, I don't understand why in the group stage these teams didn't man mark him. Like, how could? But on the other hand, Messi only really scores in group stage.
He scored most of his goals, correct?
Yeah, for most of them. He did score in 2022 against Croatia and France. So I'm not saying he doesn't, but he, you know, so it's those two together. But yeah, if you want to play it safe, yeah, I don't understand why.
He did score against Egypt, one goal, and Cape Verde, one goal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, group stage.
He scored two against Austria and three against Algeria.
Well, what I mean is group stage and way smaller teams. That's my point. Like, the only two big teams he scored against is Croatia and France. Last World Cup.
Yeah, last World Cup. I was going to say, he didn't play Croatia this World Cup.
Right. So, well, yeah, if you want to play it safe, yeah. Yeah, don't let him. Yeah, man mark him. I don't know why. Like, what do you think the other teams didn't do that? To me, it's the obvious.
It's common sense. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know why. I guess, you know, Tuchel he's a genius. He did well in his past clubs with Bayern Munich and Chelsea and PSG. So he's willing to do some changes, and he has to stop Messi. Messi is the supply line, or maybe stop that supply line to give the ball to Messi. But Messi does track back a little bit, but at the same time, he doesn't track as much as he needs to. But yeah, I think Tuchel is he's genius. He's a German. He's tactical. Could be a little bit emotional, but I think he's a little bit more logical in these sense. Here's a fun fact, George. Lionel Messi has never played against England in his 20-year career.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way. That's interesting. I'm looking at crosses because it was with my wife.
Hence, she's Argentinian.
I wonder what England is going to do against Argentina's balón parado, the what do you call those? Set pieces.
Right.
Set pieces and crosses. Argentina scores a lot of their goals like that. They're extremely efficient with their crosses, whether it's in play or corner kick or even free kick. I think most more corner kick. So I'm interesting and I'm extremely intrigued on how England is going to defend against that. I think they are taller, on average, but maybe it's just that. That's one of Argentina's like main weapons that people aren't really talking about. People are talking about Lionel Messi, but like you said, the supply line. So you can't stop him if it's a corner kick.
Yeah.
Free kick.
Or a free kick. Or he's...
You can't. You have to let him kick. So the trick, the next question is, okay, who are you going to stop to receive it? Because he places it very well, and they are extremely efficient with their headers.
Well,
I'm interested in that as well.
We'll know for sure in 2 hours. I think one thing in this game is the calls, the referee calls. They usually go towards Argentina's way, and then that's why I think they're going to win, which at least is to our predictions.
That's so sad. That's Argentina so sad. I'm laughing, but it's so sad.
Argentina versus England in Atlanta. Here's my prediction. Obviously, I said it first. The calls go towards Argentina. I'm not saying that's a conspiracy. It's just that's just the trend line. That's just how things go. Right. And I think they'll get their way. Will I see a lot of goals? I don't think so. Both these teams don't let too many goals in. So it's going to come down who makes that clutch. If Argentina is going to play with higher defenders, it will even out. But I do have Argentina winning, maybe in extra time and in penalties, but they'll win. They will win this game. George?
Yeah, that's the thing with Argentina. And, you know, we're just saying the trend, and they've analyzed this. Like, there's this online site called checkvar.com or something.
Cool. I got to check it out.
Yeah, and they have a list of – they rank the teams that have benefit the most and to those who benefit the least. And, you know, it's we can all guess who's at the top of that list. So it's true. Yeah, so – but I do think England, they get favored as well. I think – I have to double-check the site. But yes, we all know who's the champion. They also call them Fargentina. So that's what you're saying. So my prediction.
You mean RJ FIFA? You mean?
Yeah, the calls really. It can come down to calls.
You can check out the RJ FIFA T-shirt on the sportscast.net shop, so you can pick it up to cheer on.
There you go. You're missing the blue.
No, the blue's there.
You should be black because the referees wear black.
Okay, you're right.
You should be black.
I'll modify it later.
You'll modify it. All right. So, yeah, if it comes down to a call, we all know who has the advantage. But I think I have hope. You know what? I have hope. I think tonight will be the end of the dark ages of football, and England will triumph. The three Lions will come in roaring and once and for all slay the dark side of football, and justice will win.
Justice will win. England versus Spain.
Argentina. Oh, well, I guess that's the prediction, right?
Yeah, England, so you pick England and go on. Next. Move on forward. The Calais Derby. No, the English Channel Derby. We'll find out in a few hours. Well, there you have it. England versus Argentina. Last final game, semifinal in Atlanta. It's going to be huge. It's going to be excellent. Hopefully another classic. We'll see if there's a red card, a hand of God. We'll see a penalty. But we'll see what favors. Messi's first time against England. Who would have thought this game did not happen by now? Anyways, George, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about Argentina and FIFA's connection?
Jordy Slim FC. That's my X handler.
On X/Twitter, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 at X and Instagram. We'll be live tweeting throughout the match, see what happens, any show. Will this game go extra time? You never mentioned that. Will it go extra time?
I won't be surprised if it does.
I wouldn't put it past it.
Yeah, no way.
All right. Well, George, another good episode. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Talk to you soon.
And this was your World Cup coverage.